Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us once again on Let's Face the Issues. We're looking forward to an exciting program today. I believe one that will be of vital interest and should be of vital interest to every conservative, in particular to every Christian in the listening audience today. We'll be talking about a subject ready to rebuild. Is it time for a new temple or a third temple? Or is it time for a temple in Jerusalem? Ladies and gentlemen, before we get into my monologue and the discussion of that subject today, let me remind you as we speak on these issues day by day, we do so based on biblical truth, based on the solid foundation of the Word of God. Our issues, whether they be found in the realm of the home, government, or the church, all are focused and fountainheaded right out of the Word of God. You see, as we have a central biblicist worldview, that means everything that we see, it's not divided up and bifurcated and compartmentalized into the realm of social, political, spiritual. It's all one worldview, and it's based on the authority of the Scripture. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Speaking of the Word of God. And then Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." So, ladies and gentlemen, we speak of issues, and it's exciting to me to see the issues that come out in the forefront of the news, the issues that seemingly some time back were not ever spoken of, but today it's as though God's prophetic clock has been released, and we're in the last of the last days, and we're seeing issues coming to the forefront on national news, newspapers, and television, and radio, that we would not have heard some time back, because I believe God's clock is ticking, ladies and gentlemen. I believe God is setting the stage, and we're in the final of the final days. Ladies and gentlemen, all of Israel today, don't know if you've been listening to it or paying attention, you find some of it on Fox, very little, if any, of it on the fake news, the Clinton Network news or the Communist Network news, you find very little on the fake news channels. But ladies and gentlemen, all of Israel is buzzing today over the potential of the rebuilding of a third temple in Israel. Solomon's temple, as you know, was destroyed by the Babylonians in BC 586. And then the second temple, it was called the Zerubbabel's temple, was destroyed in AD 70. Exactly, by the way, 586 years after Solomon's temple was destroyed. Now, about 2,000 years later, devout Jewish people, especially in Israel, are still praying three times a day. This is their prayer. "May it be thy will that the temple be speedily rebuilt in our days," end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, the temple shall be rebuilt in Jerusalem. Jewish advocates, by the way, are seriously asking the question, will the third temple be rebuilt during the Trump administration? In fact, during the Trump administration, ladies and gentlemen, we've seen that President Trump, through an executive order, designated Jerusalem as the official capital of Israel. Past presidents, Obama and Clinton in particular, the Embassy Act was passed in 1995, and both Obama and Clinton claimed that they were going to carry out the Jerusalem Embassy Act, and that was really law, but they disregarded it, disavowed it, did nothing about it, though they campaigned on the fact that they were going to put the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem and designate Israel as the Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. They never did that. President Trump did so, ladies and gentlemen. May I remind us, the law required that to be done, and Trump just simply by executive order designated the Jerusalem as the U.S. Embassy and Jerusalem as the headquarters or the capital of Israel and not Tel Aviv. Jerusalem is now the official capital of Israel. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, biblically, Jerusalem has been the official capital of Israel for some 4,000 years, not recognized by society in recent years. But you go back as far as you want to go in biblical history, and you'll find that Jerusalem was designated, recognized as the capital of Israel. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, says the title of the article is by question mark. Will the Trump administration rebuild the third temple, or will the third temple be rebuilt during the Trump administration? The article basically says, and it's about a five-page article, I'll read one or two brief snippets from it. With all of his real estate prowess and deal-making success, will President Donald Trump do as King Cyrus decreed 1,500 years ago and get into the hottest business in the world, temple building? Just the idea that a temple could possibly someday be rebuilt on the Temple Mount causes Palestinians to riot and loot, bomb cars, and burn buildings, stab and shoot innocent victims. The Western Wailing Wall, which is called referred to as the Wall Plaza in Jerusalem, the Dome of the Rock sits on the Temple Mount where the first and the second temples once stood. At the foot of the Temple Mount on the western side is the Western Wailing Wall, and that's all that's left of the former temple, ladies and gentlemen. May I remind us, the question is a buzz. The question is being asked, will it be Donald J. Trump during this administration that will authorize or recognize or by executive order state that this is what should be done? That's what Israel is looking for. That's what they're buzz over. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us, it was the site of the Solomon's Temple and Zerubbabel's Temple, and it's on the Temple Mount. It was originally called Mount Moriah in the Old Testament text, and Mount Moriah has historically been the site where the first worship took place, the first Jewish sacrifice took place. It's in Genesis chapter 22, where Abraham offered his son Isaac as a sacrifice, and it's on Mount Moriah today, ladies and gentlemen, that the Islamic mosque is there. And there are a lot of folks today that are trying to be politically correct and said, well, it's impossibility to build a Jewish temple there because the mosque is there. Maybe we can coexist and build the temple next to the mosque. By the way, the Temple Mount, the Mount Moriah, is about a 35-acre tract of land. It's the most, the hottest debated, the most questioned site in all of the world. But ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us that I believe that it's going to take place. You see, recently not only has President Donald J. Trump designated that Jerusalem is the place for the U.S. Embassy and is thus the capital of Israel and not Tel Aviv, but you know, very recently the Golan Heights were dominated by the enemies of Israel, but it was in the 1967 war with Syria and Israel that Israel regained the Golan Heights. By the way, if you look at it geographically, the Golan Heights stands far above Jerusalem in particular, and therefore it is a strategic location that Israel must maintain control over for its own existence and its own preservation from the enemies that wants to destroy. But you'll recall it was President Trump that officially declared the Golan Heights belongs to Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, Israel has only a small postage stamp of real estate. That is a small postage stamp in comparison to the land that God has given the Jewish people. In fact, if you go back and study, ladies and gentlemen, Genesis 13, Genesis 15, Genesis 17, Genesis 26, the scripture is very, very clear that God gave the land to Israel forever. And when you look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 3, 4, and 5, and I'll just read a couple of those verses. God says to Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. And it's referring back to Genesis 15 and Genesis 13 and Deuteronomy 11. It goes on to give the geographical location of the property for Israel. From the wilderness to this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, or to the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. Ladies and gentlemen, when you look at that designated land, all of the land that's Saudi Arabia, all of the land that's called Syria, all of the land that goes up into the northern portion of Iraq, that whole geographical area up to where the Euphrates River intersects, ladies and gentlemen, all of that's been designated by God forever to belong to the nation of Israel. But Israel's never possessed its land. It's never possessed the totality of the land. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can dial 831-0917, 831-0917, and your telephone call gets you straight through to the studios and right to our microphones that we can have discussion on this issue today. But ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about, is it time to rebuild? Will there be a third temple, and will it be during the Donald J. Trump's administration? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that it will. I believe that God has placed him in office as a divine intervention for the protection and preservation of America. And I believe God's going to use him just as Israel is referring to him now as the modern King Cyrus. Ladies and gentlemen, the apple of God's eye, according to Zechariah 2:8, is Israel. And Israel has no temple for temple worship. But in the last of the last days, according to Ezekiel 40-46, by the way, study that. It's a wonderful study, Ezekiel chapters 40-46, a study of the new temple. It's the millennial temple. During the days that Jesus Christ rules and reigns for 1,000 years, at the culmination of the Battle of Armageddon, Jesus Christ will return. He will enter into the eastern gate. He will enter into the temple and be seated on his throne and will rule for 1,000 years from that. And Ezekiel 40-46 gives the exact geographical location, the exact dimensions, and the blueprints, architectural blueprints, that lays out for us the new temple that shall be built. Today, officials, according to the biblical Temple Mount, is occupied by that Islamic mosque. When you look at the Temple Mount, it is the Islamic mosque. By the way, it's called the Dome of the Rock. Why is that so? Because when you walk into the Dome of the Rock and you look into it, there's a walled-off area for the entire central portion of the Dome of the Rock. That is the foundation stones. It is the rock upon which the temple was built during the days of the Solomon's Temple and Zerubbabel's Temple. Today, officially, there is no temple there. The Dome of the Rock is there. The place of first worship was there. And it is the site of both the first and the second temples, as I said. And it shall be, listen, based on the authority of the Word of God. This is not Youngblood hypotheses. Based on the authority of the Word of God, that location where the Dome of the Rock is today shall be the site of the third temple. God has promised to bless the Jewish people, and God brought them back into their own homeland, May 15, 1948. They now have Jerusalem as the recognized capital. The United States and other embassies are there in Jerusalem, and the Jewish people now refer to this as President Donald Trump, as King Cyrus. Why is that so? Because it was King Cyrus that gave the decree for the Jews to return to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple, according to Ezra chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. And this was, by the way, the fulfillment of Jeremiah's prophecy in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 1 through 14. I believe I have a call on the line. Go over with your question or comment, please.
Yes, my favorite topic. Good morning. And
good morning.
Isaiah 30, excuse me.
Go ahead. Good morning.
Isaiah 31:5, like flying birds, so Yahweh Sivaoth, the Lord of hosts, will protect Yerushalayim, Jerusalem. He will protect and deliver it. He will pass over and rescue it. And flying there is like hovering birds. And that's when the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters in Genesis. And Israel has a fantastic air force. And when Allenby wrested the city from the Turks, there's a saying, it might be true, that he sent planes flying over Jerusalem. And when the Turks saw the planes and they remembered Allenby. Allenby sounds like Allahby. And they surrendered the city without a shot. When Allenby went into Jerusalem, he got off his horse and he walked in, for he was a Bible-believing Christian at the time.
Are you there?
Yes, go ahead. Sorry.
Wonderful thought. In fact, my thoughts as you say that go directly to Isaiah chapter 20, verses 40 through 41, where God says, "In mine holy mountain, in the mountain of the highest of Israel, saith the Lord God, shall there be the house of Israel, and of them the land serve me. There will I accept them, and there will I require offerings of them, and the first fruits of your oblations with all your holy things. I will accept you with your sweet savor when I bring you out of the people and gather you out of the countries wherein you have been scattered, and I will be sanctified in you before the heathen."
And that and that's Isaiah what?
Isaiah chapter 20, verse 40 and 41. And it is 40. The prophetic pointing, it is the prophetic finger pointing to the coming of the temple being rebuilt on Mount Moriah.
And the temple, even the ancient rabbis had a hard time understanding that because of the seven feasts that are mentioned in Vayikra, Leviticus. Three or four of them aren't mentioned in that scenario, the last 10 or so chapters of Ezekiel. And the ones that are mentioned are kept a little differently than they were kept under the Mosaic law. So it's a very interesting scenario. And my understanding is the church comprised of Jew and Gentile will be at the marriage supper of the Lamb when all this transpires. And, you know, we'll be feasting and waiting for the coming back again.
The marriage supper of the Lamb found a wonderful study, by the way, and it's the geographical location of that will be in heaven, and it will be after the rapture of the church, after the 7 years of tribulation, and during the tribulation period that's taking place upon the earth, we'll be celebrating with the Lord Jesus Christ around the marriage supper table, and it's found in Revelation chapter 19, verse 7, 8, and 9. A wonderful little minuscule text, but refers to that marriage supper of the Lamb, where the saints shall be celebrating with the groom, the Lord Jesus.
Excellent. And also in Zechariah, it talks about Jerusalem being a burdensome stone to all people, those close by and those far away. And we see that more and more. And I believe that Trump is a type of King Cyrus. And it mentioned Cyrus wasn't a believer at the time, but yet he's still helping Israel. And Trump is doing exactly that. And
when you study the scripture, King Cyrus was far from a believer, but God used him. And this is the reason I've said time and time again that God can use any instrument that is available. And here's a man that God has intervened divinely, I believe, in the affairs of America and placed him in office for him to be used as an instrument, a tool in the hands of God to bring about what I think is the prophetic text that we find in the scripture today.
Amen. Maranatha, God bless.
Thank you, and God bless you for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article. Title of the article here is Christians and Jews Now Compare Trump to Persian King Cyrus. Will he build the third temple is the question. The brief article says, like King Cyrus 2,500 years ago, Trump is seen as the instrument of God and the plan to build the third temple on the Temple Mount where the El-Aqsa Mosque currently stands. The article further says Middle East analysts have had to bone up on their conservative Christian theology to properly understand why Donald J. Trump's declaration of Jerusalem as the Israel's capital was so important to the evangelicals. For his willingness to confront conventional diplomatic wisdom, shrug off dire warnings of triggering Middle East unrest, and declared Jerusalem Israel's capital, Trump is increasingly being compared by evangelicals and Jews alike on the religious right to Persia's King Cyrus II, also known as Cyrus the Great. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's more than just, theory. I believe that we're seeing the prophetic text of God's Word leaping right off the pages. Here's an article that says, Armageddon predicted as Jews call for the third temple to be rebuilt. The article reads, and it's dated, by the way, April of 2019. The first holy temples of Israel's city ceased to exist centuries ago, having been demolished at the hands of the Babylonians and later by the Romans. Despite multiple calls to rebuild the temple, they have remained largely unheeded. Biblical scholars have voiced a warning that the erection of a third temple in Jerusalem, which religious activities have recently called for, inevitably carries Jesus Christ's imminent return. Jewish eschatological teachings have it that the Holy Temple will rise up from the ground for the third time when Armageddon nears. The concerns were fueled last week by the powerful Jewish rabbi community known under the name the Sanhedrin, who penned letters ahead of an approaching election of the two mayoral candidates requesting to finally rebuild the temple after the first two holy temples were constructed on Jerusalem's Temple Mount centuries ago, were wiped out by the Babylonians and then by the Romans. The location is housed no temple. The location, listen, is housed no temple since then. Quote, the rabbis of the Sanhedrin court are calling both mayoral candidates to include in their plans for the city of Jerusalem the rebuilding of the third temple. Here's an article also. It says prophecy suggests a third temple would be built. Christ will soon rule the nations from the new Jewish temple in Jerusalem. The literal third temple, Orthodox Jews say, in the Knesset, and many Christians believe that the literal third temple will soon be rebuilt in Jerusalem. Some Jews see it as the mitzvah, a continual oblation to rebuild the temple, and insist it must be in the Temple Mount area, Mount Moriah. Muslims vehemently deny the Mount ever had a temple. The temple dimensions are in the book of Ezekiel. Ladies and gentlemen, I spoke of that earlier in the 40th through the 46th chapter of Ezekiel. It gives the extreme details of the temples being rebuilt. This further article says the Talmud and the Bible imply that the temple will be built before the kingdom of David is established, before Christ's return. In fact, the furnishings, the instruments, the vessels for the temple have already been created. It is a fascinating recognition, ladies and gentlemen, by the news media on a national scale today that's recognizing the fact that this is on the very cusp, this is on the very threshold, this is the very possibility of the soon rebuilding of the third temple in Jerusalem. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us, it is a prediction that if this were to take place, war will break out. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe that God's hand is in that. Israel is surrounded by the enemies and have been since they were reconstituted as a nation May 15, 1948. They've had battle after battle after battle. And it was in the 1967 war with Syria that they took back the Golan Heights, and it's been in their possession since. And now that's been resolved and settled on a proclamation by President Trump. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, here's the crux of it. Here's what is happening. The next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church, the sudden seizure, the snatching away of the bride of Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. When the rapture of the church takes place, the man of sin that the Bible calls him, the Antichrist, it is literally Satan incarnate, according to Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 18, shall step on the scene. The man of sin, the Antichrist, will rule with an iron fist and try to annihilate the nation of Israel. He will have a peace treaty, a covenant, for 7 years with the nation of Israel. They will become a nation of unwalled villages, according to the Ezekiel 38 and 39 text. And at that time, the middle of that seven-year covenant, the Antichrist will break the covenant, break the treaty, and will simply, in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, try to annihilate the apple of God's eye, the Jewish people. And it's at that time that will trigger, if you will, Youngblood's words, will trigger the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will leave his throne in glory and will return. And when he returns, he will enter into the Eastern Gate. By the way, at the Eastern Gate today, it is walled up. It is walled up. And there is a Muslim cemetery outside of the Eastern Gate to prevent any Jewish people from traversing that property. But according to Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, when Jesus Christ returns, the Mount of Olives will cleave, that is split, will cause a valley to form across the Kidron Valley, and it will go into the Eastern Gate. Jesus will leave where he lands, if you please, on the Mount of Olives. He will then walk into the Eastern Gate and will be seated on his throne, the new temple, the third temple throne, and according to the scripture, will rule and reign for 1,000 years from that temple, and that temple shall be rebuilt. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that the blueprints have already been done. The Temple Mount Movement Faithful has been in existence now since about 1969. They've been pushing for the temple to be rebuilt. They've drawn the blueprints. The blueprints are ready. In fact, the Temple Mount Movement conservative group of Orthodox Jews say that the temple can be rebuilt in less than 24 months. Listen, if that temple is going to be in place when Jesus Christ returns, and if he's going to return at the rapture of the church, and we're in the last of the last days, we're looking for the next imminent thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church, and that could take place before we finish this broadcast today. But if that's the case, ladies and gentlemen, then the Temple Mount is ready to be made clean. And I've said for several years, and perhaps you've heard me say on this broadcast with other programs of this nature, that I believe a Syrian or Iranian Scud missile is going to lose its course and go off course. It's going to wipe that Temple Mount clean, or some Scud missile or missile out of Gaza will come over and will wipe the Temple Mount clean and prepare the way for Jesus Christ to enter into the rebuilt temple, the third temple. But according to Daniel chapter 9, verse 20 through 27, when that treaty is made, Israel will think that they're in perfect safe hands and will be a nation of unwalled villages that will allow the Antichrist, the man of sin, the one that will rule in the world with an iron hand, will allow him to attempt to annihilate the Jewish people. But when Jesus Christ returns, ladies and gentlemen, after the Battle of Armageddon, Christ will return. According to Revelation chapter 19, verse 17 through 21, he will slay the enemies of God, the enemies of the church, and the enemies of Israel with the sword of his mouth, that is, with the spoken word, and he will cast them into hell. But wait a minute. During the tribulation, there will be a Jewish temple, according to Ezekiel 40 through 46. For in Ezekiel 44, chapter 44, verses 1, 2, and 3, it is very, very clear. Listen to this prophetic text. The scripture says in Ezekiel 44, verse 1, 2, and 3, then he brought me back the way of the gate of the outward sanctuary, which looketh toward the east. That's the eastern gate. And it was shut. Then said the Lord unto me, this gate shall be shut. It shall not be opened, and no man shall enter in by it, because the Lord God of Israel hath entered by it. Therefore it shall be shut. It is for the prince that shall sit in it, eat bread before the Lord. He shall enter in by the way of the porch of the gate and shall go out by the way of the same. That's speaking of the prince, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he returns, he will enter into the eastern gate and be seated upon his throne and will rule and reign for 1,000 years. It's referred to as the millennial reign of Christ. But ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus Christ returns and enters into that eastern gate, he'll be seated on the throne of the rebuilt temple. Here's an article that says, plans are underway for the construction of the third temple in Jerusalem. And the subtitle says, plans underway for construction of that third temple. Rabbi Richman, director of the International Department of the Temple Institute, says he is committed to rebuilding the temple on Jerusalem's Temple Mount. Israeli Brigade Commander Colonel Mott captured the Temple Mount in 1967. After the capture, it was announced, the Temple Mount is in our hands, he said. This is in 67. The Temple Mount is in our hands, he repeats. Then this article further says, retaking the Temple Mount was important to the Jewish world because the site was where King Solomon built his first temple. The article further says, recapturing the site meant that the Jews could have their long-awaited third temple. It would be, this quote now, it would be hard, I think, to see what's happened in the past 50 years as a tremendous, not just fulfillment of prophecy, but a tremendous jump start, a tremendous fast forward. Richmond said, it's more than prophetic. It's like a kiss from heaven. It's like a divine kiss. It's like a intimate brush with the reality of God's compassion and love for Israel. He keeps his promises. Ladies and gentlemen, he does. And I say that according to Luke 21:28, when we see these things coming about, look up, lift up your head, for a redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, we're looking at the prophetic hand of God. Someone said, if you want to know what God's doing, look at Israel. It's God's prophecy clock. In fact, the statement says, Israel is God's hour hand, and Jerusalem is God's minute hand. Look at Israel. Look at Jerusalem. Look at what President Trump is doing. Look at how America stands arm to arm with the nation of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the prophetic clock of God tick down to the coming of Christ. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air, even tomorrow, as once again, we face the issue.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.